FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We've got Sir Lisa Beeney in. Time for part two. And this time we're talking about energy, Lisa.
Yes, we are.
So, look, we want to save your money.
Yep.
We want to plug up some holes.
We do.
And do some, maybe what be considered as daft things around your house, but they do work to save your money.
Yes. One of the first things I'd say is go and check all your light bulbs. I know it sounds simple, but the new energy-saving light bulbs only use 10% of the energy of the old ones. So if you imagine you've got some 50-watt light bulbs at home, which you might have done with the old ones, you've got five of those, that's 250 watts. So that is a quarter of a unit for every hour they're switched on. So you add that up and it starts to add up very, very quickly. And the ones that people quite often miss are the ones in the downlighters, because it can be quite easy in a kitchen to have 10 of those little spotlight downlighter things at 50 watts each. That's 500 watts. So if that's on for 2 hours during the day, that is a whole unit of energy. So that's costing you about 30p. I know that doesn't sound much, but it could just cost you 3p if you change them all.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Yeah.
How do I know what... Because just say, for instance, if I've got my bulbs in and they've been in for a long time and I haven't got the boxes still, how do I know what's what?
With the kitchen downlighter type ones, when they're switched off, have a look at them. If you see what looks like a little glass bulb inside, then the chances are they won't be low energy. If you see something that looks like a little orange or a yellow square or rectangle in there, then the chances are they are the low energy ones. For all the other lights, nowadays most of the low energy bulbs have a plastic bit that comes down the side to up to where the round actual bulb bit is. And they're more likely to be made of plastic rather than glass, and they won't get as hot. The old style ones, if they're clear, you'll be able to see the actual filament inside it, but look like a little very, very thin metal wire.
Okay, like a little spring.
Like a little spring, and yeah. They're the very energy inefficient ones.
So you want to save yourself some money and get rid of them?
Yes.
And let's be honest, I mean, I'm just going around in my house in my mind thinking, well, you've got one in the bedroom, you've got two in the lounge, you've got one in the other bedroom, you've got another, you know, two in the hallway, the toilet, the kitchen, the conservatory. There's a lot of bulbs there and a lot of savings. So I'm guessing, did you say 3p on each or 30 pence on each?
Easily. I mean, if you look at it over a year, that's one of the biggest, easiest savings. What we do when we do our Leap home visits, we check everyone's bulbs and we carry stock in the car and we'll change them for people if needed.
Okay, that sounds great. And we'll find out how we can get in touch and how that works. I've got to say this before it goes out of my head. We've got Wi-Fi bulbs. So would they be energy, good for energy or not?
They will be better than the old-fashioned bulbs, but as well as actually producing the light, they'll have the little Wi-Fi bit in them that will use some energy, but it is most probably quite minor. And you're then looking at balancing that cost saving with the control that you have of them. So we've got one Wi-Fi bulb at home that, if somebody walks up to our front door and the doorbell sees them, it turns the porch light on.
Right.
And it stays on for a fixed length of time and turns off.
Okay.
So that saves money compared to having a porch light on all evening. So it's a bit swings and roundabouts with those. The control that it gives you can save you more money than the cost of the energy to actually run the little Wi-Fi bit.
Okay, just another quick question in. Might be a bit daft, but we're on the subject of lights. Outside lights, you mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a couple, one around the front, one around the back. So if somebody comes walking up, it goes. But this thing is so blooming bright, it's like Blackpool Illuminations. Is that something we ought to check as well?
Definitely. Some of those bulbs can be 200 or 300 watts, and you can get LED versions of those now. So you could put in a low energy version of that.
Right.
But it depends on the exact light. Some of the outside lights, you would need to change your whole light to be able to do that.
Okay, so I must check that one. And on the outside light, is that, were you looking for the same thing when you go up to the, when you have a look at it, when it's not on?
Yes, if it looks like a glass bulb, the chances are it's not very energy efficient.
Okay, I mean, that is one way of saving a whole load of money. If you've got a whole load of bulbs in your house, and I say, I think we've got about six in our bathroom, one of those down light things.
Yeah.
That you've got. So I would imagine we've got at least 20 bulbs that we can look at.
Bathroom ones are slightly different because they have to be waterproof or moisture proof. And you may need to change the whole light fitting for that.
Right.
But you can buy them from Screwfix or B&Q quite cheaply.
Okay, well, I'll ask my electrician who put them in.
Yeah.
He might get another job with taking them out and putting some more in, but there you go. Okay, so have you got any other useful tips?
Look at how you're using your heating and make sure, check the flow temperature on your boiler. And I know it might sound daft, but if you're going out, turn the heating down. Not too much, because it can take a lot of energy to reheat a house from stone cold. If there are rooms that you're not using, turn down the radiator valves in those rooms and close the doors, so you're just heating the areas that you're in. And, as I say, checking the flow temperature on the boiler, checking that your radiators are heating evenly. So just with your hand, you can feel them. Once it's been running for half an hour or so, make sure that the temperature feels the same at the top and the bottom of the radiator. If they feel colder at the top, the chances are they just need bleeding or letting the air out of them. And you can get a little radiator key. You turn that, you'll hear it all hiss. And when you get the first few drops of water come out, you just close that up again.
And that's done?
And that's done.
You don't need a plumber to do that, then?
You don't need a plumber to do that. One thing to watch, if you've got a lot of air in your radiators, that once you've let all of the air out, the pressure within your system might fall. And you'll have a little gauge on your boiler, and it will have an arrow, and it'll either be red or green. If it's in the green, you're fine. If it goes into the red, you'll need to put a bit more water into the system. And there's normally a filling loop on your boiler. It's normally, or quite often, it's a flexible silver woven pipe with a little like tap on it that you can open. You can just open that slightly. You'll hear the water go into your system, and you'll see this little pressure gauge come up. When it's in the green, you can close it again.
So you don't need a plumber to do that. You can do that all yourself.
You can do that all yourself. But if you're unsure about it, then if you're having your heating serviced and your boiler serviced, just get the plumber to check all of that while he's there.
Okay. I mean, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Have you got one more tip?
To save energy?
Yeah.
Use an air fryer.
Yeah.
My good old air fryers. Yeah. And making sure you turn everything off at the mains at night. And that can save you about £50 a year. I know all of these things don't sound much, but they all add up and make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I say that the bad thing is, and I wish that I go around my house now at night and you know that things are on because they tell you to leave them on, like your television. Like your television that might be connected to the internet, that might be connected to some kind of, I don't know, Amazon or Sky or something.
Yeah.
And if you switch it on first thing in the morning, it's got to reboot and it'll go through the rigmarole. So they tell you to leave it plugged in. You've got your router that's plugged in the whole time, mm-hmm. burning electricity. There was a time when the only thing that we had switched on was your fridge.
Yeah.
So is there any way that we can lobby people to say, can you not make these things to have some kind of battery in them so all day they're charging so we can switch it off overnight?
But that would still use that energy overnight. It doesn't matter if you've pulled it from the grid during the day or if you pull it from the grid overnight.
Right.
I normally smart TVs and things, unless you're going to be recording programs that are transmitted live, I'd still turn them off at night and just accept it's going to, when you turn it on the next day, it will just take a few minutes to start up.
Okay. I mean, I would imagine there are people that do that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I just can't get my head around the fact that, you know, yeah, but it's got to reboot, then you've got to re-sign in and so on, and you think, oh, okay, then you make the choice. Do you want to pay an extra £50 a year for that or not?
I'm a great lover of smart plugs. I think they're wonderful. And I've got it set up on my phone. So when we go to bed at night, we've got an all-off button, and it just turns everything off just by pressing one button.
Yeah.
So there is a technology out there to help. If you use Apple's home thing with Siri, or if you use Alexa, you can then start controlling it all through Alexa. So you could say, Alexa, turn the TV off.
Yeah.
And it will.
We've got a lot of that, you know, with the lights. And also we've got, smart plugs that charge my watch and my phone overnight for 1.5 hours. Because we've worked out how long it takes to charge it fully.
Yeah.
No, don't. There's so many people that would just leave their phones on charge overnight, and you think you're just wasting electricity, and it's a fire hazard.
And another thing to check this time of year: what's in your freezer? So quite often we're finding people have old chest freezers in the garage that have a pack of frozen peas in them. They switched it on for Christmas, and it's still got one or two bits in there, and that will be running very inefficiently and costing a small fortune to run, and the amount it's using in energy is most probably far more than the value of that packet of peas that's in it.
Check your freezers.
Yeah, and turn it off if you don't need it.
Okay. Now, I've got to ask you about, let me think there. You had a meeting. I just want to touch on that. You had a meeting, and I know that things take a bit of time, but was it a positive one?
It was. It was for our battery project. We had the launch event, and it was lovely to see so many people come along and so much enthusiasm for what we're doing. The other lovely thing was we had it at the Wild Heart Animal Sanctuary in their bear enclosure. Well, we weren't actually in with the bears. I think if they call it the bear lookout. But the bears came out to say hello, which was lovely.
Oh, lovely. Positive stuff from that meeting.
Very positive stuff. So it's a project that we'll be continuing to work on over the next couple of years.
Now, I know that the last time you were in, we mentioned government funding.
Yeah.
Has anything changed on that? Is there more funding available, or is it the same
amount? We've got the government have now announced their new Warm Homes Plan, which will mean that there is going to be more grant funding available. And whilst they've announced the areas that it will be concentrating on, so part of it will be encouraging people to have solar panels and batteries at home. So if you're on a low income, then there will be grants to pay for this, so you won't have to pay a single penny towards it. What we've found in the past is a lot of people are just outside that grant bit and don't have the savings to be able to buy it. So the government is launching low-cost or zero-interest loans. So if you aren't able to get a grant for it, there should be a very low-interest rate or a zero-interest rate loan available to pay for that. So you should then be able to get solar panels and a battery installed, and quite potentially the money that you save on your energy bill each year by having those could go towards paying off the loan. So your savings are paying for the loan that you've got without you having to pay all that money up front.
How do we get involved with that?
I would say follow us on Facebook or sign up on our website, and we will keep people informed. The wheels of government turn very slowly.
Right. And we're slower than that.
Oh, I know. I was being polite. But we're not expecting, certainly the loan side of it, to be available until at least the end of this year. We're not expecting anything on grants now to be available until April at the earliest. Even if they put more money into the Warm Homes local grant, then that won't happen in this current financial year. All of that money has already been allocated and spent, really.
So really, really slow then. In the meantime, you're there to help.
Yep.
How do we get hold of you?
Give us a call on 01983 668 900. You can email us at info@greeniow.org.uk or hop onto our website and there's a message form. You can send us a message through that.
Excellent. Okay, thank you for coming in. Are you going to come in next time and tell us all about something nutty that you're going to be doing to raise funds?
I'm sure I will, yes.
Because hopefully you'll be able to confirm what you're going to be doing.
I will be able to confirm what we're doing.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll see you in a month's time. Yeah.